bit of agenda adjusting here because of some other commitments, and we'll start the meeting with Senate Bill 614. Mike Marsh is here and has another meeting he must attend. The public hearing on Senate Bill 614. Janet, could you give us a little brief rundown on that? And Mike Marsh is the only person signed up for it. Thank you, Mr. Marsh, for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 614 is an A and R version of the bill, which requires the Department of Transportation to develop and maintain a cost accounting system that accounts for direct, administrative, and indirect costs incurred by each departmental unit, program, and region. And it specifies as a minimum 10 product or service areas to which such costs are to be allocated. They're listed in Section 2 of the bill. Mr. Chair, there is not a fiscal impact statement. There is no fiscal impact statement. This is something that the department has been working on. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your time. Mike Marsh from the Department of Transportation. As Janet indicated, the department is in the process of developing and implementing a cost accounting and allocation system. To make sure that we're all clear about the terms we're using here, again, cost accounting is calculating the expense of providing an individual unit of service or product. So that means cost of pricing on the highway or cost per hour of maintenance mechanic time. Or to use a private sector analogy, would be how much it costs for a Nike to produce a shoe. Those kind of indications of cost per unit are the types of things that cost accounting does. What we're doing is making sure we have the full cost of producing that product or service. We want to make sure those costs are fully loaded with the indirect costs, which mean the support costs, which are tougher to calculate than those direct costs. The direct costs of producing something are clear, the employee time involved, the direct equipment involved. But the support costs can involve the information systems costs, the support personnel, the supervisory time, those types of costs, which aren't usually calculated in most public sector entities, to make sure we have a good comparable piece of information to compare our costs to maybe private sector providers, and also to make sure we can benchmark ourselves against other states accurately. So the costs of doing this cost accounting process are included in the department's 1999-2001 budget because of the fact that we're attacking to do this project in any event. So we'll develop and maintain a cost accounting system in conjunction with our current accounting system, and it's included in our current budget request. The process we'll use for that is defining and documenting the cost of the services, first in highways, then DMV, then motor carrier, and then into support services. We'll identify and modify the financial information and processes within the department, which we're already doing, and then train and educate employees to make sure we have consistent information and consistent patterns of how we calculate our costs and make sure that it's done the same way across the agency. We're committed to implementing a cost accounting system. This will happen, and there's no fiscal impact in the budget request or in your bill attached with this because we are implementing the intent of the bill, and want to make sure we're clear that we will be communicating with the legislature about implementation as mentioned within the bill. Regardless of what happens with the bill, we'll make sure that communication does occur. So we're committed to cost accounting, sir, and we'll be moving it forward.
Thank you, Mike. On page one, I guess there's only one page, so maybe two pages. Line 16, consider Bill 108, so through we'd have an ORF that you're supposed to do aeronautics division.
Mr. Chair, correct. We right now listed as one of the programs within the Department of Transportation. If the bill passed, that would come out.
Okay. Mr. Chair, any questions, Representative Wells? Who is the instigator of this bill? Does this come from you, or is this coming from people in the legislature?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wells came from the legislature.
What is your reaction to this bill, really?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wells, we are committed to doing cost accounting. The legislature is the board of directors, and they can give direction about what occurs with state agency, and I think it's appropriate for the legislature to discuss policy. However, we will do this regardless of what occurs with the bill.
Any other questions, Representative Hill, and then Logan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When you say that this bill has no fiscal impact, you're referring to the fact that it doesn't increase the budget. It has a cost to implement this. In terms of what is the cost to implement
Mr. Chair and Representative Hill, the Pardon me,
Mike. We have Senator Shannon with us right now. If you'd like to come up and join in the conversation, we started the public hearing on Senator 614, and Mr. Mark has raised some questions.
Okay. I
want to
get your answer on that. Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe I should let the Senator go first and then get back to Representative Hill.
Okay, Representative Hill, and she may have to get back to the committee. Thanks for being here, Senator.
Okay. I'd like to hear the answer, too, though.
Mike, why don't you go ahead and get the answer?
Okay. Mr. Chair, the cost, we have 9 full-time equivalent positions for Representative Hill who are working on the process. The total cost for that is $1.14 million, expected within the budget request. And we also have an expectation of approximately $800,000 of hardware acquisition and software acquisition. That's, as I say, in the department's budget request for 9901.
Thank you. Good morning,
Senator. I didn't hear the first of what Mike was saying, but they were headed this way anyways, right, Mike?
Correct.
So this is just putting in statute. Senate Bill 614A mandates that the Department of Transportation develop and maintain a I'm Senator Shannon, District 15. The cost accounting system that accounts for all direct, indirect, and administrative costs incurred by each department, unit, product, and service. And the reason this bill came about was after the, during the Secretary of State's audit, we met with the auditors, as I'm sure some of you did, because they were interested in making sure that they audited what we had in mind. And, in the course of the conversation, it came up that because they do what is called a team accounting system, it's very difficult to actually find out what things cost. In fact, last night we had the snow park people there, and a man that operates one of those lots, he said all I wanted to know was how much does it ODOT charge themselves when their snow plows are in operation an hour. And it was incredible. They couldn't, they said, well, this because of the weather, because of this. He said, well, this, you know, what do you charge? Because when they hire people out, I think it was $97 an hour. Well, it took a long time, but he told us that he's never seen it in writing, but in conversations, after the committee, I asked him, how can you document that they charge back their own snow plowing $300 an hour? And he said, I can't really, because it was all verbal. I've never been shown how much they charge. And so the auditor, Jim Pitts, told us that it's just very difficult to find out how the money is being spent because they're not on a standard cost accounting system. And I'm sure some of you remember that that's exactly what we did have all the school districts do in the interim. They're on a standard cost accounting system. You now can see what it costs to educate a seventh grader now, what you could expect to pay for that. And so it just seemed reasonable. There are many other, there are many other states where the Department of Transportation are on a cost accounting system. And Representative Tom Butler met with me and helped me craft this bill. And I think it's a good bill. And they already said, I would tell you this, that when Mike came on, you didn't come on in January last year or February?
August. Officially, I was rotated over for a few months before that.
Oh, okay. Because it was before August. Yeah. Right. And they said that they would, when the issue came up, they let us know that they had intended even to be on a cost accounting system by this January or February. But now it's projected out. And then in January, they thought it would be by this July. And so we would be gone. And so that's why I thought we should put in new RF.
Thank you, Senator. We had about 3 people have questions. I'll just start with Representative Hill and Loken and Walker.
Okay.
Representative Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, corrections, in terms of you suggested that all schools were on the same cost account system. I believe last session tested that only 16 schools participated in the program, and so it's not every school.
Just a second. That was a pilot to set up the software, and the intent is that all schools would go to that.
Not everyone.
They're not, but they will.
So is the intent of Senate Bill 614 to replace, is this the mandate to the agency to replace the team's accounting system?
Yes.
And so if that's the intent in terms of, I I would then question then whether or not this fiscal is correct, because I think to replace the team system with this would be far greater than the cost that has been outlined to us.
Well, there, Representative Tom Butler is much more of an expert on this, but he estimated that it would cost way less than I just now heard, because it's not that expensive. And I would like to, if you need to have, before you work the bill, listen to Tom Butler. But he is very knowledgeable, the only CPA in the Capitol, you know, elected, and it was not that big of a financial burden.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Hill.
I appreciate that opinion, but I think in terms of the information systems necessary to support the collection of the data are going to be rather expensive to replace, and then to integrate the business reengineering process. So, I mean, where I join with you in suggesting that we go down jointly to Ways and Means and argue that we get the financing to replace the team system, get it integrated in a statewide system so that we have a system that the department could then come back to us, and I've been talking to ODOT about that, and I'm very happy in terms of they've been working with me, and I think we have a plan that I'm going to bring forward to help do that, but I don't think in terms of this is what's going to happen based upon this bill, based upon the dollar amount that you suggested, because it's not it's more than just simply creating a chart of accounts and saying, here, go and collect the data in this chart of accounts. You need an information system that can collect and store across the entire department.
Well, they have to change the way they do it to collect the information for the bill you passed out of here, Representative Wilson. They work hand in glove. So it's not whether you account at all for what they're going to do for HERS or what they're all going to do for this bill. They're going to change the way they account. And the one sentence I didn't say was the auditor said, if you'd asked ODOT, well, how much did the Bend bypass cost? He said it'd take them 30 days to come up with those figures. However, if you would ask the two major contractors, they could come up with it in 20 minutes. They'd just go to the file because they're on a standardized cost accounting system. And that's what really actually got the whole conversation going.
It's when I understood the committee, what the plans are is to go in, not to go to work session, but next Wednesday go into work session. Not Monday, we have that scheduled, but Wednesday of next week we're going to work session on this bill. So there will be ample time to answer any questions we may have that are a little more technical. So, Representative Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I just want to be clear so that we understand what the intent of the bill is, so that the fiscal reflects that, because I think in terms of the, I suggest there's going to be a disagreement here from Mike as to the, if that's the intent of the bill, that the fiscal has been outlined here, this, that cost and what the, and how they're reading the bill is not, they're not reading it's going to replace the team's financial system.
Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shannon, yes, what we're talking about here is using about an $800,000 change in our computer system that we're already planning on. We can't fully change all the full accounting system, what's called the TEAM system, which is an acronym which stands for Transportation Environment Accounting Management System. We don't mean to use acronyms too much, but that's what that gets at. And what we're trying to do is, as the Senator has indicated in the bill, to do cost accounting. Cost accounting is different than regular accounting for day-to-day operations, meaning paying your bills, getting your receivables in from those who are paying you, making sure that you can track your travel costs, all the things that are part of an accounting system. Cost accounting, as I mentioned earlier, is that expense associated with a unit of service or a product. And the Senator's committee talked about this on the Senate side, but to make sure we're clear, that is different than day-to-day accounting operations. What we're doing here is hitting cost accounting. It's not changing the entire accounting system for the Department of Transportation. And that's something that we've tried to separate out as two separate issues. And so I guess I'd have to indicate that if the intent was to expand to replace the entire accounting system, that would be a higher degree of fiscal impact. What we're talking about here is not have much fiscal impact, have no fiscal impact over our budget. I want to make that clear. but we are talking about cost accounting, not a reversal in the entire accounting system.
Thank you. Representative Loken is next.
Actually, I think I have most of my questions answered in this comment here. I might ask Senator Shannon, the audits that were performed on ODOT did speak of the cost accounting system and recommended that.
It was in the audit.
For ODOT, and I believe ODOT was agreeable to that.
We've had many meetings on this. However, I cannot even describe to you the disappointment that I would have with ODOT if this was just a window dressing.
Thank you. Representative Lehman and then Taylor.
Walker.
I'm sorry. Walker, you were in there. First.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one simple question. Senator, why do you need to put this in statute?
Oh, I guess I didn't make that clear. They've been promising to do this for well over a year. And the last time we met, and I asked them in January how it's coming. See, last August, they would have it by February. It's been well on its road. So the road, I wasn't going to do the bill if we were nearly there. But we don't intend to be here in July. And now they've even pushed the date out till, what is it, 2000? January 2001?
No. Mr. Chair, the time frame that we committed when I came on and we went and testified in the Senate was on November 17th was that we would have the highway high-level business phases done in February 99, which are complete, and then we'll have the specific products and services for highways begin to be accumulated in July of 99, which is on target. And in the summer of 2000, we'd have the full cost accounting implementation started, and then be able to come back to you at the 2001 session showing what the costs are beginning to be accumulated. But I want to make sure we're clear. I don't think we're pushing back from where we were, but I understand the interest in making sure that there's a commitment and that we move ahead, and certainly that's what we're planning on doing.
Thank you, Mike. Representative Walker, you,
yeah.
Representative Lehman, and then Taylor.
Chairman, Commissioner, Mr. Marsh, of the money coming in to ODOT from the various sources, how much of that is dispersed to cities and counties?
Mr. Chair and Representative Lehman, the city and county distribution is about approximately 40% total of the state highway fund, which is, off the top of my head, as I recall, was about $150 million for the cities and approximately $230 million, as I recall. We're getting to
Yes, Mr. Marsh, of the money that goes out there, what kind of accounting system is in place that tells us how they spent the money?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lehman, each city and county does have different levels of accounting systems. Some are quite complex. Others are pretty rudimentary. So the receiving entities are at various levels. Most do not have cost accounting systems, but most have some type of accounting system that meets the demand of the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State does do an audit, I think it's each 3 years, to make sure that they are doing appropriate accounting for the funds that they receive. The most recent audit found some concerns, but for the most part, it related to the difficulty of being able to track through once the funds came into the city or county, to be able to make sure that those funds went to certain uses became difficult because they accumulated funds in one pool, and therefore it became difficult to track about exactly where the money went. Does that answer your question?
Sure, Mr. Nichols, that answers the question.
May I answer the question?
Just one real quick, I got a question for you. Mr. Marsh, it would be safe to say that the money that goes out to the cities and counties, it's not really a cost accounting system there. It just basically says we spent the money on roads and highways like we're obligated to do.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lehman is correct. There's not a cost accounting system in most entities, but there is some way to track about where it went.
I guess maybe you can answer as part of the question. Don't you think it appropriate that if we're spending 40% of the money that we collect from the people, don't you think it appropriate we also have a cost accounting system in place the cities and counties that tells us how they're spending their money and gives us the same system of ODOT? We're really attacking 60% of the money that we raise and collect of the people's money with this bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Lehman. Great question. I don't believe we're attacking anybody. I mean, it's not my intent to attack, but My husband works for the Oregon School Board, used to work, he's in school finance. And when I was reading the audit on the cities and counties, if you read them, the auditor made it clear from Secretary of State that it was very difficult to see if the money was actually used according to the law because of the commingling of funds. And so I intended to do this earlier, it slipped through, but I'm dropping a priority bill, and it sort of does what the school district has to do. And Al says the school district may get the money from the state, it all comes out of this account, but all the transportation dollars are in a separate checking account. And it just says that every city and county will have a checking account for transportation dollars. And I don't know whether it's a Custer County or not. It will be, if you agree with me, that we will be able to see where the transportation dollars are. I have a good friend that is a county commissioner, and they said, Marilyn, at a big county, said it is incredible where the transportation dollars go. And I think that for us that are kind of responsible for sending them to them, it's not too much to have it kept. Just write all the transportation things out of a separate check.
Thank you. President Taylor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, I just am still asking the question about how Oregon's transportation system will be bettered by this measure. Or is it just a matter of giving the legislature more information? And are we willing to actually make this large an expenditure and the time and energy that will be invested? It seems to me that one good reason for they're not having done more since February is that we have been in session and been actually occupying them as we do when we're here.
He doesn't do the programming. He's over here. Mr. Marsh doesn't do the programming. There's other people still at ODOT every day.
But I don't insist about asking for another kind of report. I read the bill to say cost per lane, mile, and it seems to me that that is going to take an additional amount of effort. And I guess I question whether that's something that the people in my district are concerned about. They want to know that there are efficiencies, and I think that's been demonstrated.
What do you define as an efficiency?
Well, I think the $70 million that the department itself came up with in efficiencies in the last year and were able to put on projects.
Do you know specifically what was set aside for those efficiencies?
I am not actually that interested.
Right.
And I'm kind of a big picture person rather than trying to find out what the price of asphalt is today.
That's true, except it all adds up to $2.5 billion. And when there's no new roads being built, you just wonder why.
Thank you.
Representative Judson, and then we're going to move on. Everybody's had a shot except for you. Did you want to? Thank you. That's one, and he's not going to get one because he's not been here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to comment that I serve and continue to serve on the ODOT Efficiency Committee, and that's made up of primarily a lot of private interests. And many of the private interests during their discussions, the issue of cost accounting came up on a regular basis because most of those private interests were in their own theaters of operation, so to speak, were used to having cost accounting systems. So I think that there is some precedent for it, and I'm glad that ODOT's made the commitment to do it. I don't really particularly think it hurts to put it in statute either. One of the things, though, in regards to counties and cities, I think we could probably clearly require that they segregate the funds, but I don't think we could require that they put in place a cost accounting system. We're going to problems with certain measures of voters.
So is that a question, or are you making a
statement?
Thank you.
Important one.
We had meant, I thought you said you weren't going to ask.
I said just a short one here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I promise to be short. Mike, does this bill, if we codify this concept in law, is this close enough to what you intend to do anyway to be proper?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
there's no opposition from ODOT for this bill.
We had much testimony during the interim. We had one report given to us, one statement in the report, and I'll have to paraphrase it, that they couldn't give us complete information because some kind of a system wasn't in place. Senator, you may remember that report. I don't remember which one it was. So ODOT, by its own admission, needs to do something. If this is the avenue they need to do it in, I'm totally supportive of getting a book in order. And by their own admission, they haven't been in order. So something does need to be done, and we're looking forward to working with them.
Thank you
very much, Senator. Thank you for being here. If there's no further questions, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 614 and plan on working on that next Wednesday. For the benefit of the committee, you can sleep in Monday. We're not meeting Monday.
Okay.
So that's the good news. For the benefit of the committee, I'm sad to say and happy to say that next Friday may be our last meeting, and then you can go golfing. So that's up to you all. The next item on our agenda is a work session on Senate Bill 878. We have Senator Tarnow with us here. Senator, thanks for being here. Janet, would you put us in place? He's welcome to come with you if he wants to, of course. Well, he did a good job last week, sir, without you.
Sure. I don't need to be here. For the record, I'm Senator Will Tarnow from Coquille.
If you wait just a second, maybe Janet can bring us up to speed, and then you'll know where we, what we've heard, and then we'll pile through it.
Sure. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Will reaffirm the aid, and it's, again, it's the A and growth version, and we do have a fiscal statement from the within the Senate. The two main elements of the bill, one is Section 2 that creates a civil penalty for being outside of an area that's hosted for all-terrain vehicles, making it a Class 2 traffic infraction. The problem law enforcement has today is that someone would need to be charged with criminal trespass. This is an easier offense to cite and an easier offense to enforce. And it is still a fairly, Class 2 traffic infraction is still a maximum $300 fine, so it is still 3%. And the second portion of the bill really starts on in Section 4, and there we had some confusion at the first meeting on this bill as to whether this is opening up new areas to off-road vehicles. In talking to the additional land managers in the meantime, in addition to the Forest Service BLM that we had talked to before we Penn State Park, I did talk to Association of Oregon Counties and to the State Forestry. State Forestry is in support of the bill. What Section 4 does is not open new areas to specify where equipment requirements would require either street legal or street legal equipment or not. And it's a more less specific to area and more specific to types of road. So again, the land managers are okay with the wording and that you have before you.
Thank you both. Thanks for coming, sir.
Well, Mr. Chairman of the committee, thank you for giving me a few moments. This is a good bill, and in areas of the state, for example, that not all off-road vehicles can travel on. So the trails are more narrow and they're more limited to the Class 1 and Class 3s, which are your three and four-wheelers and your two-wheel motorcycles for off-road travel. And it would exclude those larger rigs, your Jeeps and your pickups and maybe even large, typically your large rails. So I think it is a needed bill because there's some trails going in our state that are being opened up by the All-Terrain Vehicle Allotment Committee, which the folks who use these trails pay for the maintenance of the trail. They pay for the facilities that go along with the improvements of these off-road areas in our state. And it's quite a recreational thing for all ages and you know, the entire family. So I just ask for your support of the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Other questions? We have some. Did you have some more comments?
Mr. Chair, and for the record, my name is Bob Greenstreet, and I come in today to because of a couple questions that was asked last Friday by Representative Hill, and unfortunately, he's one of them that's not here right now. A couple questions that came up was about land posting that closed, and Representative Hill had made a statement about the signing. I was pretty sure that he was wrong, but I wasn't positive, so I've done some research. And back in the early 70s, all the counties had to do land use management plans for LCDC.
zoning, all of this. If you had a residential zone within a county, and you may have a port zone within a county, the residential zone would be posted as closed. The port zone might be posted as open. This posting is not signing, and I went to the law library, and on posting, it is to bring notice or attention to the public by affixing to a post, a wall, putting up in some public place to display, so forth. So when these land use plans for the counties, as well as the Forest Service Field, were done, the maps were printed, the regulations were all printed and put out to the public, those areas that were close to it are posted. The word originally comes from the fact that one time everyone had to go to the post office to get their mail. They didn't have delivery, and all the public notices were put up on bulletin boards in there, and so that's where the terminology posting came from. The two-lane gravel road was brought up. I did check on that, and the state doesn't maintain any single-lane gravel roads. And I talked to Marion County and to Polk County, and those two counties do not have any single-lane gravel roads. So the county roads and the state roads would not be affected in any way. It's just the some of the federal fire roads that we've all seen out in the woods and out in the sagebrush. Like I say, I was hoping Representative Hill would hear the explanation because he had the questions.
We're making carry the bill.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming back, by the way. We appreciate that. There was some minor confusion at the time. We were passing things right along. It was a legitimate enough question to delay. Is the committee comfortable with the information we have at hand now? Okay. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you, Senator, for coming. We are in work session. President Levin?
Chairman, I move Senate Bill 878 to the floor of the group house recommendation.
Thank you. Chairman Levin moves Senate Bill 878A to the House floor of the group house recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I will defer to call the roll.
Aye.
Representative Logan. Aye. Representative Logan. Aye. Representative Taylor. Aye. Representative Walsh. Aye. Representative Wells. Yes. Representative Governor. Aye. We have moved Senate Bill 878A to the floor of the group house recommendation. It will be carried by Representative Levin. Next item on our list will be Senate Bill 888A. And we will open the work session, a public hearing on Senate Bill 888A. Janet?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. We have built this one.
What's the name of that song? I don't know.
Me too. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 888A. Exempts records pertaining to manufactured structures from the definition portion of ORS 802.175. The statute is the result of House Bill 2096, passed last session, which restricts public access to personal information from motor vehicle records. There are a number of exceptions to this restriction, one of which allows DMV to disclose information to a government agency for use in its government functions. County assessors that use DMV records to collect information about manufactured structures for their tax rolls fall under this exception. However, they have encountered problems with redisclosing the information received from the department to the public. Although their tax rules are public records, the assessors have been advised that they may not be able to treat this information as they would information about other real property because of the privacy protection measures enacted last session. They've been reluctant to assume the liability for publishing possibly protected information. Senate Bill 888A would exclude these records from restrictions governing other motor vehicle records and remove this barrier. The bill has no fiscal and no revenue impact. I believe representatives from D&D and the assessors are here to discuss it with further answering the question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. We have Bill Seeley with us. He's with the Department of Transportation. Maybe we'll start with Bill and then see if we have questions. We have Mark Noakes signed up and he's available for questions. We'll see if we have him. Don Miner signed up too. So thank you.
Yeah.
morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Phil Seeley with the Driver and Motor Vehicle Services Division of ODA. Fred did a very good job with the description of Senate Bill 888. As it stands right now, what it all it does is exempt manufactured structures from the privacy legislation that's enacted last session. There is an emergency clause with the bill to help the counties if this is successful at that moment, signed by the governor, the information that's been passed out of DMV would not carry the privacy tag and would be free to disclose it at that point. There is no fiscal impact to us, so this is really just a policy issue for you as to whether you want the DMV records for manufactured structures to the personal information on those records to once again be available to the public.
Thank you, Bill. Are there any questions? Reverend Taylor.
Well, I'm just curious, Mr. Chair, about the Federal Driver Privacy Act defines vehicle as motorized and non-motorized. I can't imagine a non-motorized vehicle. I'm sitting here trying to think if that's a rowboat or what. Non-motorized doesn't mean vehicle to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Taylor, yes, the definitions are, we have some of those idiosyncrasies in Oregon law, too. The about 15% of our vehicles are non-motorized trailers and that type of thing. And the federal definition of motor vehicle for the purposes of the Driver Privacy Protection Act does use the term motor vehicle, but it includes motorized and non-motorized vehicles, but does not include manufactured structures, which means we won't be in violation of federal law if it passes, and that's why it's a policy question just for this body.
Thank you, Don, and Representative Taylor. That's why I assumed Don Miner would be here. Wouldn't you? Are there any other questions? Thank you, Bill, very much for being here.
Chairman,
oh, I'm sorry.
My point would be that this looks like a slam dunk. I suggest that maybe we just want to go into work session and enroll the thing, or maybe allow other witnesses to see if they can talk us out of this bill.
I think that I'll see some heads indicating that they're comfortable. So I think that the permission of the committee and no further questions, I'll close the public hearing. We'll open the work session on Senate Bill 888A. President Lennon.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 888A to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Lehman moves Senate Bill 888A to the floor of the due pass. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hill.
Hush Hill. Yeah, Representative Hill.
Whatever your name is.
I'm running and trying to catch up here. As I understand, this issue goes back to the bill last session when we dealt with the Driver Protection Act and went through the whole thing as what we were going to have open in the state of Oregon. And I would understand that we, first thing, they closed and deferred down, so nothing was going to be open, and then we opened up different areas. So as I understand, we did not allow this area to be open so people could get a hold of DMV records and get records of manufactured structures. Now, does this have anything to do with the fact that we're not going to have manufactured structures in DMV anymore? Is that the reason this is here like this? Or why now are we going to open this up so people can get records of people who own manufactured structures? Because I understand this is what this is doing. And who is why is the Association of County Assessors wanting this bill?
Chairman, I understand it correctly.
We're in work session.
I understand it correctly that they're saying that county assessors need this information because manufactured homes appear on both rolls at times. Under the current law, when DMV releases information on manufactured homes, county assessors, it has the tag that says this is confidential information and they have trouble releasing it. By doing this, we allow county assessors to treat this information as non-confidential.
But is this going to open it up to every roofing outfit in the country to get a hold of my name and start sending me stuff?
Sure.
Well, with heads bobbing up and down, the answer for the record is yes. So if that's right, I have a little bit of a concern because we tried to close some of this down so that every salesman in the country wouldn't get these lists from some aluminum roofing outfit to Dura Roof, they call them.
but Representative, we get them as homeowners, regular homeowners, so why shouldn't we get them as a manufactured homeowner?
We get tired of seeing
them. I think you could have
a... There's a conflict of interest here, I can tell. Representative, I understand your concern. The privacy is more important.
I guess I don't have a problem if the need can justify it, what we're doing this. And actually, I was really wondering, saying what the need was to justify this. And evidently, it's all because of the county assessors. Is that true?
We're making some assumptions up here, and I've seen heads go up and down and back and forth. Maybe, Brad, if you could answer, or we would be happy to call the county assessor forward for just a clarification, or Don Miner, or are we correcting our assumptions up here?
It's kind of messy, all right?
Yes, with a Mark Noakes.
Well, I guess, Mr. Chair, it's interesting. We went through this whole thing last session.
Well, let's let him answer your question.
Now we're beginning to open this can again from DMV. Because this isn't the first bill I've dealt with around here this session, and other committees where we're opening the door now again to, because people, we had another bill the other day. We're opening the door now for more records.
You've heard all of our dialogue. For the record, we have to say your name.
Chair Montgomery, committee members, my name is Mark Mills, and I'm the Linn County Assessor and Tax Collector. I also happen to be the president of the Assessors and Tax Collectors Organization. This maintains our records the way we have been maintaining them all along. We are the keeper of the record. We are responsible for valuing these properties. That's one of the reasons is for property tax purposes, we need to send out bills to the correct people. Because manufacturers dwellings are titled and are subject to changing hands, for example, the way we receive that information is through DMV. So for us to change our records and have the correct people's names on the record, we need that information. The issue here is once we receive that information, it becomes public because our tax roll or our assessment roll is public. So therefore, we want to make sure that we are not held liable for having this information out on the assessment and tax roll.
It's no more public than a stick built out.
It's no more public than
same analogy. Thank you.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Representative, Chair, to get this straight, then, what does this bill do for you that you can't do currently do now?
It will allow us to change our records when one of these units, a manufactured dwelling, actually changes hands, it will allow us to change the name on the account.
Based upon the information you see from DMV.
Based on the information we receive from DMV, and the actual title itself changes.
And Mr. Chair, right now you can't get that information?
We can get that information, but we are not, because of this gray area, not allowed to actually display this information in our systems. And there are most counties are continuing to do this until we get some clarification here, but there are two counties currently that have stopped doing it, have stopped changing their records until they have a verbal okay from either the prior or the new current owner in writing. It ties our hands.
So, Mr. Chair, this is kind of like the marriage record thing that kind of came up, as I understand. The marriage records got set down here somewhere in the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That involved county clerk.
I'm sure he's not aware of that.
He works for the county.
I wear two hats. I do not wear
the wish. You don't go there. Are there other questions? I know Representative Wells is very uncomfortable.
I'm fine. I just like to know what I'm voting on.
I really didn't know what we were voting on here. Okay, thank you for the question to help clarify it. Representative Hill? We're in a work session. We're ready to move this bill, Representative Hill. Do you have a pertinent question?
I was running below that.
Thank you. Representative Lehman? We're ready to move this bill.
I thought we were in discussion.
Well,
thank you. Janet, we've moved this bill twice. Thank you. Okay. Yes, thank God for term limits. We have a motion to move to the floor of the new class recommendation. Will the clerk call the roll?
Representative Bailey.
Aye.
Representative
Wilson.
Aye.
Representative
Taylor. Aye. Representative Walker. Aye. Representative Bill. I guess, yes. Representative Montgomery. Aye. Senate Bill 888A is moved to the House floor to do pass a recommendation. I don't think they wanted to. Do I have a volunteer, Representative Walker? You haven't carried one.
I'd be happy to.
Thank you. Representative Taylor will carry Senate Bill 888A. Thank you very much. The last bill on our agenda is a work session on House Bill 2335. We have been requested to send this to the House Rules and Elections Committee. I have no problem doing that. Brad, you have the information basically on what this bill was. They need it for a tool to use down there, I understand.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to let Janet explain this bill.
Thank you. We don't need to explain the bill.
Are they going to try to clean this up through any school guns?
I think there's another issue they're involved in on this.
Mr. Chair, did we move one bill out of here on this issue?
No, it died. This is not the same bill.
Mr. Chair, does this have a nice relating clause or something?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it's for. I'm not sure what it's about. It's a courtesy that we've been asked to perform. I have no personal problem in doing it if they've gone through the procedure properly. We had another request for another bill that didn't go through the procedure properly, and that bill's not been out of committee, and ask me later what it is.
But, Mr. Chair, what we're saying is because we couldn't get the job done, we're going to send it out to another committee and let them show us up.
If that's what it was, that wouldn't take much for me, but for you it would take an awful lot, so I don't want to do that. But they do have something they need to do with it. And if I knew, I'd tell you, it's about 20 miles an hour in some kind of school zone, and I could ask them, Dad, you know, you're talking.
I think we need to know whether we're in favor of this or not, Mr. Chair.
The letter that we received about it, I believe, said something about no passing in school zone.
Yes. Yeah. I saw something about 20 mile an hour kind of thing, too.
I don't think it's anything that we would be opposed to. That's only my assumption, and it's your right to vote or not vote. I'm pulling your courtesy.
Mr. Chair, why are we dealing with that issue in this committee? Why is that bill in the rules? We're not shut down yet.
We're shut down as far as I'm concerned, especially on House bills. You're not going to hear another House bill no matter what happens.
My only concern is that, I'm going to vote no on this just for no other reason than the school zone bill has only got two sessions. We played with it. It's very complex. What I think we came to this session and played with it is we really came to the conclusion that we're just going to make it worse. I'm really reluctant to send this on to some of the committees and have them play with something that we've been playing with for a long time. I think they have God's answer to, God's answer to driving in school zones. If I'm just going to vote no, I'm not very courteous.
Okay, well, I'm asking the committee if they would consider it. It sounds like we're having a hard time getting them to consider it. I have no problem doing it. It will not be the same bill when they get done with it. If I think it's an offensive bill, I will go talk to the chair about it. And I'm just performing what a chairman's supposed to do, and I hope some of you are coming back the next session have the same opportunity. Representative Bill?
Are we in work session?
We're in work session, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, we've still House Bill 2335 with that recommendation to the Committee on Rules, Elections, and Procedures.
And thank you. We have a motion to move House Bill 2335 to Rules. Before we get into that, I believe a member of our committee is on Rules. Representative Devlin is on Rules. I would appreciate a report back if this thing goes sideways, because I'll be the first one to stand up and make a floor speech, and I don't do that very often.
Mr. Chairman, yes, I am on Rules. I'll vote for the motion, but I hope that with all due respect to Representative Beyer, I hope this amendment does not come back.
It's not going to Beyer.
Representative Byers on the committee with him.
I would look to you, Representative, and if it's the same bill and it's not working, I sure would like to know that, but I want to come in and testify against it. It's not a good deal. Okay. We have a motion, House Bill 2335, to move the House Rules, Election, and Public Affairs Committee, as requested by the chair of the committee. Will the clerk call the roll?
Representative
Hill.
Aye.
Representative Trumbull.
Aye.
Representative Lane.
No.
Representative
Logan.
Out of courtesy to the chair, I will vote no.
Representative Taylor.
No. No courtesy.
Representative Walker. Aye,
as a courtesy. Representative Quayle.
No.
Representative Montgomery.
Aye, as a courtesy. Thank you. Remove House Bill 2335 to the Committee on Rules, Elections, and Public Affairs. Before I bang the gavel, I personally, as chairman, do not like this. I think we're here for a reason. We're not here to play games, and if they want to play games, they should do it in some other arena, namely with their grandchildren. We are adjourned.